let's get started. This is the very first ever inaugural As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry as a radio show. You know, I always explain that whenever I try to explain what As Goes Wisconsin is, I was like, you know, it's kind of like The Daily Show, but for Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And now, As Goes Wisconsin is a daily show. So welcome. Welcome to everyone who is listening to us on the radio. Welcome to everyone who is listening to us on the live stream. And also, if you are watching on the As Goes Wisconsin YouTube page, Facebook page, Twitter, because we are live streaming the actual video on all three of those channels. And so, for today, I am your host, Kristen Bry. And joining me on my first ever show is Brian Kelly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Glorious.
Glorious. And then
excitement is palpable.
In the big producer's chair, we have Sam Butson.
Good afternoon. I'm just honored to be here with you, Kristen.
So excited to have you in my captain's chair as we navigate what this is going to look like for 2 hours a day.
Every day.
I mean, you know, you think about what I originally did with As Goes Wisconsin, which was, you know, maybe 60-second TikToks, which I got to do 120 of those now.
Yeah.
I got 120 TikToks.
Easy peasy.
Every day.
Don't worry. It's only content every day, 2 hours a day, forever.
Literally, as I was leaving today to get ready for the show, my fiance was like, it's like you're having a baby today. I go, yeah, and then I have to do it every single day.
Well, luckily, it's less painful than having a baby, from what I understand.
Yeah, this part's fun. But so, just a quick, I want to get into how everyone's 4th of July was and how this was a little bit of a weird 4th of July, but just know that this show is going to be funny. It's going to try to be funny as we break down the news of Wisconsin and how national headlines affect Wisconsin, but using guest co-hosts and interviews and games and trivia. We're actually going to have some trivia in the second hour.
Ooh.
With so many talks of guns, I kind of wanted to do a little trivia on how much any of us know about Wisconsin gun laws and how, you know, who gets to hold a weapon, who doesn't, how many people in Wisconsin are holding a weapon, you know, all of those things. But moving forward, getting into it, weird July 4th.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to go and celebrate Independence Day when a lot of people's independence was kind of taken away from them, like, within the week beforehand.
Yeah, you know, I was prepping for the show, so I didn't. No, regardless, even if I had not felt dampered, I probably would have been prepping for the show anyways. I didn't do any, there was no sparklers, there was no grilling out for me yesterday. But, you know, it feels kind of like, considering at least in the most of Wisconsin, we had a lot of rain. So it felt, I think for some of us, we could say it felt a little appropriate that God cried on America's birthday this year.
Not the only one that did, that's for sure.
From what I understand, you know you've reached maturity when you look outside and you see the rain and you go, we needed that. That's what I know.
Yeah, so you know, there was protests, like Roe v. Wade abortion rights protests all over the place. All the fireworks across Wisconsin were canceled. And I don't know. It made me start thinking about what does it actually mean to be patriotic? Because I think a lot of times you'll hear one of the most patriotic things you can do is protest, and that we are, you know, marching to make a more perfect union. But in reality, I looked it up of what the actual definition of patriotism is. And it said, having or expressing devotion to and vigorous support for one's country.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm totally there at the moment. And so, I mean, there's the things that I love about our country, I think, has been the march towards, the ability to march and make changes towards more freedoms, more rights for all the people who didn't have them when the country first started.
Well, that's one of the first things they added when they were like, oh, we made a mistake. We haven't enumerated all the rights yet. That's the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights.
Yeah. And so that's what I have always loved about our country. And these last couple of weeks especially have felt like that's not happening. And our ability to even do that and continue to change it is going to be harder and harder to do with the Supreme Court as it is. with gerrymandering as it is.
It's hard to be, well, when you're, it used to be that we had different ways to sit on a chair, but we both agreed that there was a chair. And now we're trying to figure out how to sit in a chair, and the other people are saying there is no chair. And that's hard to go and start making things better with.
Yeah. So kinda, I don't know. What do you still love? How do you feel patriotic? Do you feel patriotic right now?
I feel patriotic. It's hard because it's a very addictive drug. It's so great when you finally fully. It's like getting into a team and seeing that they're winning. Like you ever watch the World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
coming out this year.
Yeah,
weirdly never, in the fall because speaking of corruption,
yeah, speaking of
the
corruption,
World Cup,
needs
to
World
be
Cup?
In Qatar, but we can't do it in the summer because it's real hot there.
Yes. Also, there's political wonderful things, and the World Cup is just a wonderful, not really great national organization. Anyway, the point is that when you're watching it, I've never been more of a fan of soccer than when the U.S. is in the World Cup and I'm just screaming at the TV. Oh, my friend and I were down on all fours. I'm a Cubs fan. I've shaved off all the hair in my body except for a C, and I never felt as into it as when I was watching the USA, World Cup, and they might do something decent. Finally, not just the women doing something, but the guys could actually maybe earn the money they're making more than. I know. I got you. Please. I realize the statement I'm making as I'm making it, and that's why I continue to make it. Because, again, what wonderful things we do for our country to go and bleed out for our country. But my point is it's an addictive drug, and it's wonderful and great, and it can inspire you to do things that are beyond what, like, we stayed up. We woke up at 4 in the morning to watch this wonderful match on the other side of the world, and it's just a ball going into a net. Who cares? But
is that patriotism?
It's us all doing it together. You've just read the definition of patriotism. And for me, it's, pulling for your country, all of us together on the same. So when it works, when it's all of us together, I don't care. I know when you come upon a national anthem type of thing and everybody's all, misty-eyed and staring off into space, it looks just like you walk into church. Stand, sit, kneel, we're all doing some sort of, But together, that whole togetherness and being patriotic that way, where everybody's on the same page, even if it is cheesy and stupid, just really, really works.
Well, what's interesting is exactly what you said right there. So it's the coming together part, right?
Yes.
And so and that piggybacks onto what I said as far as what makes me feel patriotic is the ability to improve. And it's largely been in times when there's been an outside villain, whether it was a war or the Depression or these areas that like forced people to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those were the times where it actually felt like there was more progress, when it was like the outside thing that we needed to defeat.
Because
right now it just feels like we're trying to beat each other up.
Well, it's a lot easier to go buy war bonds when you're like, oh my God, Hitler's going to destroy all of us. And it's than it is, now when it's, well, we need the oil executives to make some more money. So can we send go USA, send troops in to kill everyone. Like, it's hard to be patriotic when it's things like the Vietnam War, but it's easy to be patriotic when it's things like World War II. But again, it's patriotic with wars. Why is it always with wars? Can we be patriotic when we, send all the aid over to Africa and help people live more and better? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Does make great news.
Most of our patriotism is linked towards some sort of warlike.
Well, we've also spent, 75 or 80% of the years that we've been a country, we've been in some kind of war or some kind of conflict.
We are a warrior society. Even when you're, fighting cancer, you're still fighting cancer, and you're going to win a battle against cancer. Literally all of our stuff is a narrative of how we beat something or we conquered something. Everything. You conquered the morning. You got here. You overcame.
Win the day.
Yeah. You won the day. You overcame breakfast.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I don't love our country. I do love our country. I don't want to live anywhere else but here, even in the face of all of this. But it was one of the first. Because maybe it was because I was reflecting in general. I was like, all right, what am I going to talk about for 2 hours on the radio tomorrow? And that it was not as reflexive to just go to a barbecue, have fun, wear red, white, and blue, enjoy whatever fireworks that were happening. But it felt a little like on the heels of 2.5 weeks of Supreme Court hearings that felt detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best word? I don't know. And I want to, in the next segment, because it felt like every day for the last couple of weeks, it was a new, and the Supreme Court has ruled this. And then the next day, the Supreme Court has ruled this. And so I spent some time yesterday collecting all of the major decisions. So in one punch, we can say, this is what it was. This is what we think it could mean in Wisconsin. I'm not a legal expert, so if anyone has ideas of what this actually, if you want to correct me when I think what I think this means for Wisconsin. But yeah, just to, you know, refresh everyone's memory in one full punch of what can't happen in a 2.5 week span.
Wow, a multivitamin of madness. This is great.
Yeah. And so, but I just want to remind people of how we got to the court that we have.
That's a fun journey.
Before we go to break, because I think this is something that I always try to remember, that like, just because I consume a lot of news, that not everyone consumes that much news. And so this might be repetitive for some people, but just as we remember that in 2016, Merrick Garland got a seat stolen from him because Mitch McConnell just refused to have any kind of hearing in an election year. And then the following 4 years, we got the only three justices in American history appointed by a president who lost the popular vote and were confirmed by a block of senators who represent less than half of the country.
Yeah.
Those are three. And there's a fourth, because Roberts was also appointed by a president who had not won the popular vote when George Bush appointed him after his first term.
Great.
Or during his first term. So that sets the table for the court that has come down with all of these decisions that we're going to talk about in the next app right after the break. But this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on our very first show.
From the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here.
Way to find the clean version.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team here.
We're on the radio.
We're on the radio. This is not a podcast. It will be a podcast. Because this does get posted as podcasts.
Yes.
And so we can link that out for all the people who work during the day and are not able to listen to us for 2 hours right now. We will post that up. But I requested that song because, like I said, we started at 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And now we're here with 2 hours.
My goodness.
My goodness.
Next thing you know, you're going to be, here we go.
All right, breaking news.
Yeah, oh.
Breaking news. The Supreme Court just ruled 6-3 that cats can't have a little salami, even a little bit.
What?
Not even a little bit. Just, that is a joke.
No,
I
was going to say, is this like limited? Like, can I give them knockwurst or like some sort of
just the salami?
Just the salami?
I saw that that was on Twitter. I don't even know who put it, but that's kind of how it felt the last couple weeks. It was every day breaking news. Supreme Court just did X. And you're like, oh, man.
Man.
But let's recap. Because I feel like sometimes in the slow trickle of these things, it feels hard. And obviously the biggest one that feels the most tumultuous, obviously as with both two women here right now, very personal, but obviously the big one was Dobbs versus Jackson and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And what that means for Wisconsin is that we are currently reverted back to our 1849 abortion ban, that the only exception is the health of the mother, but not a lot of details on what that actually means and how close to death you have to be to
qualify for an abortion. Well, in 1849, I believe they might have been still contemplating using leeches. So it'll be weird for me, honestly, just to have to treat women as second-class citizens going forward. Because I was taught not to. You know, growing up, but I mean,
but the law's the law.
The law's the law.
The law's the law, man. You gotta like, who am I to?
It's gonna be awkward for a lot of people. You know, like
when the Supreme Court's like, don't really have to.
See, back in my day, women were allowed to control things.
So that was obviously the big one that will now get fought in our state, in every state, of what that actually means. Because I made a video with Journal Sentinel on, you know, this only opens up more questions. There's already a lawsuit. Evers and Call have already put in a lawsuit saying that this you can't enforce a law that is this old and hasn't been active in 50 years.
There's a couple different Republican era exceptions as well that they are saying which one applies, because during the Reagan administration, they put forth another thing. During Walker's, Walker just recently put forth something as well that had a little bit of an exception for the 1849 law, and that's what the lawsuit is. Yeah. Trying to figure out which one it is. And either way, I don't think anyone really thought this through, because again, are you going to have cops with pregnancy tests as well as breathalyzers? How does this work?
Dogs sniffing for women as they cross state lines? Yeah, I don't know. I think it becomes so messy because it's not just the top officials that we vote for, like governor and state assembly reps. It's DAs. You know, mm-hmm. It's who enforces the ban, because it's one thing to have a law. It's another thing to actually prioritize the investigation and prosecution of those now criminal acts. Yeah. So, all right. So that was a big one. Most people have already heard that about that one. The next really big one was New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, which was 6-3. On exactly how you would think that the vote would break down. And it basically ruled that states with strict limits on carrying guns in public violate the Second Amendment. So it was in New York that they had more of a higher obstacle to be able to get a concealed carry weapon. And they said, the Supreme Court said, nope, you can't do that. Now in Wisconsin, as we learn later, it's fairly easy to get a concealed carry license. But yeah, so that basically means that no gun regulations are safe, potentially. And I don't know what that actually means for the gun legislation that just got passed, the bipartisan one. But it's a weird thing, because we just had another mass shooting at a 4th of July parade yesterday. Mass shootings yesterday.
I thought there would be more than just that one.
I think there was four in total.
Yeah, that's great.
So that was a big one for Second Amendment rights.
I guess that means that the Earp brothers were completely in the wrong of the OK Corral. It was the cowboys who were in the right of the OK Corral. That's what the Supreme Court says.
All right. Miranda rights.
Oh, yeah, that's not important at all.
Vega versus Tico. I might be pronouncing that wrong. Another 6-3 decision. It's not so much that they said that Miranda rights aren't a thing, so much as they said that you cannot sue a police officer for not reading you your Miranda rights.
Oh.
So basically, it'll make it harder for defendants to pursue any legal remedies when their rights are violated. And the whole reason Miranda rights exist is to know what your, because the average person, I don't know if I know what my rights are as far as if I were to get arrested, and it's like rights to a lawyer, rights to stay silent, all these things. But if you don't read them, then you can coerce a potential suspect into false testimony.
Hasn't stopped before. This really hasn't stopped before, from what I understand.
Then we got two big ones as far as the separation of church and state.
Oh, very good.
The first one was Carson versus Macon, which is also 6-3. And that took place in Maine. And it basically said that in like voucher program situations, of which, I mean, Wisconsin was the first place that really started all the school choice stuff.
Yeah, good thing we were funding two different school systems.
So will be interesting to see. Just spilled water. It's fine.
It's fine.
It'll be interesting to see.
Just the power. It's
just
fine.
The power.
Just the power.
We're fine.
We're still going. We're still alive.
How that means for basically private schools that are religious have to have the same amount of state funding as they give to other schools that are not religious. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And so basically it's, and then the other one is about school prayer, where Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, also 6-3, ruled that a football coach at a public high school has a constitutional right to pray at the 50-yard line after the team's games. Now, he had been fired after multiple times being asked to stop doing that because as a coach, feel that any kind of pressure or weirdness of having kids pray with him. But the three liberal justices dissented, saying that they had effectively abandoned the 1971 precedent that had once set the standard for how these types of cases should be resolved. So that's the first bunch. I'm not... The second hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our first show. I made a joke this morning, and as I was promoting the show, that video doesn't always kill the radio star, because I started doing videos.
We can work together after all.
We can do both, and we are doing both, because we are streaming the actual video on the As Goes Wisconsin Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, so you can see our faces, and when I forget to mute the Zoom, you can hear me talk to Sam Butson, producer extraordinaire. You can join us there, or you can listen to us live if you don't get 540 AM WAUK or 101.1 in your car. You can listen to us at waukradio.com. Tons of ways to listen, and we will post it as a podcast every day after the show. And so today I wanted to kick off what I'm thinking will probably be a daily segment on this daily show, at least until November of this year, which is the campaign report. Because Wisconsin, when it comes to voting, we have very important elections that are always very close. And that's usually for the general, but for the first time in a very long time, we have two partisan primaries that are statewide, that are very competitive this year. So for the Republicans, we have four different candidates who are running to run against current Governor Tony Evers. And then for the Democrats, we have a lot. I think it's still, even after the people who've dropped out, I think there's still like seven or eight
right,
technically running. There's now five. I've made it to the debate that's happening later this month. So we'll probably just stick to talking to the five, but that are the people who are running against Ron Johnson for U.S. Senate. And so I thought, as we're leading up to the primary, which is as of today, 5 weeks from today, which kind of is sneaking up on us. I realized I got my mail yesterday and my absentee ballot has been mailed. I got it.
Heck yeah.
And so I think that means early voting starts at the end of July as far as when you can actually show up. So like the time crunch is now as far as the people who still have not decided to who they're going to vote for. I think in the last Marquette Law School poll, about 32% of Republicans who plan to vote don't know which candidate they're going to vote for. About 36% of Democrats were still undecided. And so this segment is trying to rehash the news as it arises. Maybe we'll do daily segments to do a little bit more of a deep dive on who all of these people are. But do what we can to inform you as you make your decision to vote in the August primary. And so kind of figured we'd start just with Sam, like, what do you even know? You know, because a lot of these people, if you're not necessarily always paying attention to state politics, it's easy to not know who these people are. And so we obviously for governor, if we start there, we have incumbent Tony Evers. So what do you know about our governor?
Well, Tony, he holds a little soft spot in my heart because he was the first election I actually got to vote in.
God, you're young.
I know.
You only turned 18 in 2018. You were born in 2000.
I'm in 90. I'm 98. But I missed the presidential election by a month. I'm like December 98. Missed the presidential where with Trump and Hillary. So I didn't get to vote in that, but I got Tony in and I felt like my vote actually mattered. It was really awesome.
And it did because it was like 11,000 votes or something. It was a super small margin as far as what he won by and what I'm assuming either the Republican or him will win by or lose by in November.
Again. And I don't, you know, I think that he's put his best effort in, and I think, you know, we need him to keep blocking all of those crazy things that they keep trying to pass, and him just without him, I'm scared. I'm scared for my future as a woman. I'm scared for my future as a young person. Like, I don't necessarily know, you know, like, I know the latest thing I heard about the Republican gubernatorial candidates is some of them are kind of split on, like, the Plan B / contraceptive.
Funny that she bring that up.
So, like, you know, I would prefer, you know, I've been on birth control since, like, fifth grade. And no, that was not because I was sexually active. That was because my period was so heavy and crazy, I needed it. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, you know, it helps other things than that. And I would like to keep my body on that because I've been doing well on that. But, you know, who knows if that's going to be an option for me in the future.
Yeah. So there are four candidates. So there is Rebecca Clayfish, who was the former lieutenant governor under Walker. And as of the last poll, she is polling about 26%. She's basically been running since she left office. Fairly conservative, staunch conservative woman. Anything else you know about Rebecca?
I know she's a little loose on the gun control, but she's a little more chill on the whole gay marriage thing, and a little more chill on, like, maybe she was one of the ones that was like, okay, Plan B might be cool, but I'm not sure about that.
All right. Then there is business consultant Kevin Nicholson, who is polling at 10%. Do you know anything?
It's mainly been about Michaels and Clayfish.
Because then they're at 3%, we have Tim Rantham, who's his entire thing that he's running on is decertifying the election, which cannot happen. And then the late entry of Tim Michaels at 27%. What do you know about Tim Michaels?
I'm baffled by this man. Have you seen these crazy ads on, like, YouTube and stuff of him, like, fighting the crazy liberal media? I'm shook by this man. He's a construction company? So he inherited it or something?
He and his brothers inherited it. So they're from Wisconsin. It's Michaels, it's more than just construction. It's a massive billion dollar company. They do everything from, like, you know, road pavements to drilling sideways throughout the country. Like, it's a massive company. And so and he's been a longtime Republican donor. He ran against Feingold. He ran in, like, the 2000s. So this is not his first race. But the thing that's interesting about Michaels is I feel like I keep seeing headlines about him just evading the question.
Yeah.
Or not showing up to a public forum. So
not sure what
in the last week, we have GOP governor candidates Rebecca Clayfish and Kevin Nicholson pledged to protect emergency contraceptives, which is what you were just saying. Tim Michaels won't say. Won't give an answer. Another one. GOP governor candidate Tim Michaels won't say whether he would certify the next presidential election. Won't say yes or no.
I won't tell you.
And then he skipped a public forum last Monday and instead had his own rally because he basically had some reason of, I'm a builder and I don't want to tear, you know, we're tearing each other down. And I think it's because he doesn't know anything about government.
It has to be.
That is
why are you avoiding
inclination is because we had him. So before, I'm now here, obviously, but for the last couple months, I had been on the morning show over at WTMJ for the last hour of the morning news. And the night that Michaels got his, the morning after he got his Trump endorsement, which, again, is, they all went down to Mar-a-Lago, Clayfish has been trying to do this for 3.5 years and is just getting backdoored so hard by her own party. It's unbelievable.
Even Trump doesn't like her. I'm like,
yeah. And so he came on to the morning show, the next day, and I was just baffled. And I know all politicians do this to a certain extent, that they have their stump speeches and their rehearsed answers, and they get so much training as far as this is the message, stick to the message, like pivot. But he just like couldn't answer. Like everything was just platitudes and cliches of how he was answering questions. And so, you know, when he says, I'm a business guy and I was a commander in the military. And the thing that I always go back to when it comes to those being the credentials that someone gives, it's those are positions where what you say goes. Like it is a top-down structure where like you fall in line, this is the decision, now go execute on the decision. And that is not how government rule is, even when you are in the executive position. And so no matter what, we've built in, at least for now, these checks and balances. And so you can't just do what you want and say, I'm going to fix all of this stuff single-handedly because I'm the governor now, because that's just not how it works. And so if you don't actually know how to build coalitions and compromise and collaboration, because even if you have a Republican legislature, not all of you necessarily want to do the same thing. I mean, look at us right now. We have at the federal level, we have a Democratic Congress president, and we still can't get anything done. And so you have to build consensus, and like that is part of working in government. And I get the feeling that he doesn't even know how government works. And that's why he keeps not answering questions and kind of just talking in like, I think this is what they want to hear, so I'm going to say that, but not have anything concrete that people can stick to me. And so I don't know. I think this will be an interesting race to watch. Someone recently asked me, like, I don't know who has the most chance of beating Evers. My gut would say Michaels does, just because he's a billionaire.
Right.
And can spend so much money as he has in the last couple of months, as he just flooding YouTube and TV and the radio and everything with I'm the guy, you know.
Exactly.
I think he just reminds me of a poor man's Liv Schreiber. Because Liv Schreiber is pretty hot, but like he's like especially with the commercials where he's driving in the car and he's not watching the road and he's talking to camera and he hasn't shaved in like 3 days, and he's a man's man. And so we'll keep track daily on updates with the governor's race. And when we come back, we'll talk about the U.S. Senate race. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We can't rewind, we've gone too far. Say that on the radio. Cannot say the B word on the radio.
It's just not preferred, I suppose.
I always don't know what you can, like what those, for those like borderline words.
Yeah.
Like the F-bomb and the S-word.
Yeah.
Obviously no.
No go.
But the B, D, A,
they're okay,
the gray area words.
Yeah, some people get offended, you know, and might as well cut them out if we can.
Yeah, when possible, avoid. Find other words to replace that, no matter how big of a potty mouth you actually have.
It's hard. When I went into radio in school, my professor said, talk to the mic like you're talking to your grandma. Keep it clean and nice.
Oh, that's true. And I think my grandma's listening right now, so I should pretend that
I'm listening
to my grandma. Hi, Carol. All right. Welcome back. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Wow, we're almost 3/4 of the way through the first show. This has been very fun. Lots of learning experiences. But we are talking about the campaign report, which is going to be a daily segment, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, where we update you on the latest news of what's happening in these very big campaigns and races for the partisan primary that we have August 9th. So it is 5 weeks from today, 42 days. If you're one of those people like me who gets your absentee ballot just automatically sent to you because you can check that box at the beginning of the year, you may have already gotten your absentee ballot for the partisan primary in the mail. One thing to remember, if you are doing that, you cannot vote in both for both parties. So you would have gotten one ballot that has the Republican races. So that would be for governor and lieutenant governor. And then you have another set of boxes that is for the Democratic race for U.S. Senate. Do not vote in both. Don't fill in candidates in both. So we are, I forgot exactly how it's going, but like you can, all of the races that can be voted on are on the ballot, but your ballot will be void if you vote in partisan primaries for both parties, if that makes sense. And so that is something that with the increase of absentee voting post 2020, I know different city clerks have raised that flag as far as it being a, can sometimes be an issue of people thinking like, oh, well, I can vote for both. No, don't vote for both. Pick your party, vote in that one. But we are talking about, we just talked about the governor's race and trying to kind of test Sam's knowledge for what she knows so far about the four Republican candidates running to run against Governor Evers. So now let's move on to the U.S. Senate Democratic primary that is less, so far I would say it's less spicy.
Mm-hmm. I would say
it's a lot less spicy than some of the elbows being thrown in the Republican governor primary. But so just to give a overview of who the candidates are, there is probably arguably the front runner right now is current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And he, we're going to come back to this after we go through the rest of the candidates. But there was potentially like a gotcha that happened over the weekend. And I don't really know if it was a gotcha, and it probably depends on who you ask. But so there's Mandela Barnes, who's currently polling around 25%. There's Alex Lazary, who is the vice president for the Bucks, has not held a seat in Wisconsin previously. Milwaukee guy, he is 21%. Sarah Gadlewski, who's the current state treasurer, currently has COVID.
I saw that
came out last week. Yeah. So well wishes, hope, fast recovery to her. She has about 9%. And then Tom Nelson, who's the Outagamie County Executive and released an agricultural plan recently that is meant to give every dairy farm a base level of milk production depending on past production. Farmers who want to expand beyond that base would pay a market access fee for additional milk. So that's like, I feel like I've heard less plans. This is one of the few times I've heard any of the candidates be like, this would be my plan that I would try to pass in the Senate if elected. But that obviously very particular to Wisconsin. And then he has not been considered a front runner because I think he, I mean, it's because he's not a front runner, but Stephen Alacara, who Andrew Yang, the Yang Gang, just endorsed. And so he also made the debate by getting 5,000 separate donors. So there is going to be a Democratic debate for U.S. Senate on TMJ4 on July 17th. You can attend in person. I just recently found this out. So you can register at Eventbrite under the Marquette Law School. They are putting on the event. Chuck Todd is going to be one of the moderators. Thank you. Yeah. So that's coming up. But one of the barriers to entry was that you had to get not just 5,000, you know, signatures, which wasn't even the threshold to get to on the ballot, but to be able to debate, you needed 5,000 separate donors, even if it was just $1. And I saw as of last week that Alacara made that. And I'm sure the Andrew Yang endorsement probably helped that because I think there's still a lot of gang folks out there. What do you think about Andrew Yang? Are you a fan? Thoughts?
Honestly, this is where I have kind of a not very educated opinion on this because you know, we've had a couple of these awesome candidates on the airwaves here, and I've heard them all, and I can't really choose.
Yeah.
And I'm little and I don't know, so I need help.
Well, that's what we're here for, right? Because I would love that is the open invitation that I'm sending out to both Democratic candidates, Republican candidates. I would love, as this show gets started over the next month, to have people on air with me, across from me, where we can talk. Hopefully I can be a good enough interviewer to get you to not give the stump speech answer, but we'll see who we can get on the air. But when we come back, I want to talk about this story that happened to Mandela over the weekend, and get your thoughts. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, come back in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I don't play tag, stop in it. We don't fuck with lies. We don't do goodbyes. We just keep it pushing like aye, aye, aye. I'ma hit you back in a minute. We don't do goodbyes. We just keep it pushing like aye, aye, aye. Wild men gray till they gotta be gray. Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Shampoo press, get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting.
I get wings to fly. Oh, I'm alive.
Welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, and we are in the last half hour of the first show. We're kicking it. We're doing great things over here.
Cruising on through. Love it.
Breezing on through. We actually just had a caller call in who wanted to know if my dad, Peter Bry, played basketball for the Badgers in the 70s, and yes, he did. So thanks
for
that.
Big fan. He remembered, yeah.
There you go.
He said that he raised a wonderful young woman, too.
All right. Good job, Dad. all right. So we, before the break, we're kind of doing the rundown on the first show of what will be a regular segment as far as just the campaign report, going through news that's happening in all these campaigns, trying to get you, the listener, as informed on all these different candidates so you can make an informed decision when you vote in the primary in 5 weeks, exactly 5 weeks from today. But maybe you'll vote sooner than that because early voting starts at the end of the month. You might have already gotten your absentee ballot in the mail.
If you don't know, you can also check it out on myvote.wi.gov.
Good plug.
Yeah, really great good resource plug there.
Yes, it is a very good. My first year when I started As Goes Wisconsin, almost everything we made was about voting. And the amount of times I said myvote.wi.gov was
a great
website. Was a lot. No, they do a really good job. It's a very
easy
one-stop shop for all things voting because sometimes it can be complicated. But before the break, we kind of ran through who the Senate candidates were, the Democratic Senate candidates were, and there was a story that broke, I guess, over the weekend. And I don't know. I think it might just be a nothing burger, like political football thing that just lets everyone have their talking points. But basically, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, there was a video of him from over a year ago in some, like it was a group in Portage, and he was talking about the ways that Wisconsin has typically done the right thing. And then he was referencing that, you know, Wisconsin was the first state to declare the Fugitive Slave Act as unconstitutional. And we were the first state to pass the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. So he was talking about that. But then there's this one clip. And again, this is from a year ago. But a conservative talk show radio host, Dan O'Donnell, tweeted out over the weekend, exclusive Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor and Democrat Senate candidate Mandela Barnes, tags Mandela, on America. Quote, things were bad. Things were terrible. The founding of this nation, awful. So we pulled the actual clip. And so then he posted the video, and now it has 178 quote tweets and retweets and likes. And I know at least Rebecca Clayfish has responded to this video, et cetera. But let's just play the video because I'd love to hear people from listening right now if this is so terrible, even taken out of context, or if this is just trying to, you know, get gain points on people who are probably not going to vote for Mandela anyways.
Imagine being so ashamed of how we got to this place in America that you outlaw teaching it. You know, and things were bad. Things were terrible. The founding of this nation, awful. You know, but we are here now, and we should commit ourselves to doing everything we can do to repair the harm, because it still exists today. The harm, the damage, whether it was colonization, whether it was slavery, the impacts are felt today, and they're going to continue to be felt unless we address it in a meaningful way.
I maybe call me a crazy radical, but I don't listen to that video and think of it as anything that is exclusive worthy.
I feel like it's pretty accurate, honestly, in my opinion.
And so, you know, Rebecca Clayfish tweeted back, I love America and our founding principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Evers needs to call out his lieutenant governor for these awful comments about our great nation, unless... of course, he agrees.
Ooh, now that's the tea.
So I don't know. It's a headline in the Journal Sentinel, which is where I even saw. I didn't even see it on Twitter. I saw it on scrolling for news for today. And is this just one of those things that we're not going to be able to get past? That is just such a divide that there are some people who think that calling the foundation of which our country, in reality, not necessarily like the folklore part of it, but in the reality that everyone who signed the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our founding fathers, a lot of them owned slaves, women were property. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff had to be like fought for in order to gain who actually had any kind of real freedoms. And so to not have the reality of what that was, like to not want to teach it because it's uncomfortable. It's like, is there just going to be a group of people who hear a video like this and it underscores Mandela Barnes doesn't love America? And that's all they hear. And then there's going to be the group of us who's like, yeah, that's true. This is not a big deal. And I know where I fall. It's probably very obvious where I fall in this, but it's interesting to me that this would be controversial at all, that it is a headline, that it is something that Dan O'Donnell thought could get him clicks. I mean, the video has 86,000 views on Twitter, which is a lot. I wonder how many views you think we got right now on our Twitter live stream.
No comment.
Probably not 86,000. But I don't know. Like, I think is this just if Mandela wins the primary, is this more of just what's to come, of just the not so subtle race card that because as a black man, there is feelings about accountability and reconciliation and accurate teaching of history that I think I would imagine Mandela is going to be unapologetic in advocating for, and how much that's going to stoke a certain type of voter who we've already seen in the last year, 2 years, with this entire CRT talking point. Is that what you want to call it?
Is that what it is? I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah. And if that's the angle that they're going to play, because I don't know, I feel like most of us can admit that slavery was bad.
And right. I don't understand.
That women were property and couldn't vote. It was bad, and that you
bad.
Could, you know, like rape your wife, and that was
why
fine.
Is that yeah. hard to like admit? We that's moved, bad, yeah. yeah, bad.
And we should teach people that so we don't go
do it
back
again.
To that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that is probably just a political football that's being used for talking points and having smart tweets that people can go upvote on. Did you notice now that on Twitter you can upvote? That there's an arrow up and down versus
I feel like
just
that's dangerous.
just the heart
no,
button.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Update that.
I haven't downvoted anything yet.
Can downvote.
Yeah, there's an up arrow and a down arrow.
Interesting. I feel like that'll
so
impact
the
algorithm
happens.
A little. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happens when you downvote it. If it just is you're saying I don't like this, or if it's like I want to see less of this.
Right.
I have to go do some
research
on that.
Very dangerous as well.
But yeah. So if you want to call. We're going to take calls at the bottom of the hour. I would love to hear your thoughts on this Mandela story, if it's something to actually be concerned about, and that he doesn't love America, or that you think that this is just conservative talk radio hosts trying to find something to bash him on over the weekend. But if you want to give us a call, 844-967-2789. We will take calls in the last segment of the show. But I wanted to take a little time to talk about guns and guns in Wisconsin. If we could play a game, we could either have, I have some trivia questions that either, if we do not get a caller, Sam, you'll have to be my
contestant. Oh boy, everyone's going to know. I barely passed college.
But if someone wants to answer questions and test their knowledge about gun laws in Wisconsin, please give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, as another way to type that into your phone. But I thought, I mean, when are guns not relevant? you know, we had, in the first hour, we talked about the Supreme Court ruling that really bolstered the Second Amendment and took away states' ability to limit who can carry a gun, which was basically simultaneously happening with the monumental bipartisan gun legislation that was the first time we've done anything on gun safety laws at the congressional federal level in like 30 years. And then we had four mass shootings yesterday. And so when are guns not topical? And our attempt to do something about them, or whose rights, is your right to have a gun more important than our right to be able to watch a parade where we're celebrating freedom free of getting shot?
I mean, it's already got more rights than my own body anyway. Might as well, right?
Yeah. And yikes. So I don't, you know, and I don't know. I'd have to talk to someone who is more of a legal expert as far as how these, the Supreme Court ruling, how that impacts the legislation that that was just passed. But at least in Wisconsin, trying to understand where do we stand on gun laws. And so I saw I don't know much about guns. Like, I was not raised in a gun household. My mom's dad is a hunter, but my dad is not. And so it's just not, I'm not anti-gun. I'm really not. But it is interesting. The understanding of why anyone would need to carry a gun around, doesn't register for me. But do we have anyone who wanted to play, or should we, I'm going to ask you some trivia.
I'm ready to take it on.
Question number one. Can anyone legally carry a concealed weapon in Wisconsin?
Ooh, anyone? I think you have to be 18, and I think you cannot have a felony. Is that?
Very close. So no. So felons are banned for life. So that, and then there's some people who, if there's like a civil commitment for mental health issues, certain domestic violence offenses, but not all, you can have your, you get restricted from having a concealed, gun license. And so, but it's not 18, it's 21, and there's some training and you have to pay $40. And so, I think that's just for concealed carry, though, because I know for what I found with this is that what happens when you don't have a concealed carry license is not a felony. It is a misdemeanor.
Oh,
yeah.
So I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. So if you get caught carrying a gun with no permit, it's can be up to 9 months of jail. But this is what I thought was really interesting, is that no matter how many of the same misdemeanor you get, it never becomes a felony.
So you can just stack them up and
so
still be fine.
So you never have your, despite continuing to hide a gun that you don't have a permit for, it never completely takes away your ability to have said gun, which I thought was interesting. So next question.
I actually have Rick from Milwaukee.
Oh,
here,
Rick
if you
from Milwaukee wants to play?
Yeah.
Great.
You ready to play, Rick?
I'm here, ready to play. Second time caller, long time listener. Great,
all right.
Great show today.
Thanks, Rick. You're our second caller. This is very exciting. All right. So were you listening or were you on the phone with Sam? So I can ask some of the questions that I was, maybe you already said the answer.
I did not hear any answers. You can fire away.
All right, fire away. Okay, so what's the charge if you're caught consuming alcohol while carrying a hidden weapon?
What is it, the charge?
What's the charge?
If you're consuming alcohol and caught carrying a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the charge is. Let's say it's $500 fine.
Well, it's certainly a misdemeanor. I don't know exactly what the fine is, but it is, you can basically, that's the only limitation of, it's either being in a private business that says, no, you cannot have your gun, or, and if you have your gun on you, you cannot consume alcohol while carrying your weapon.
There's no alcohol whatsoever. There's
no alcohol. So, I mean, I'm sure people do it, but yeah. So, all right. Can minors carry loaded rifles in public?
I believe you have to be 18 in the state of Wisconsin.
No, they actually can. They can carry a loaded rifle in public.
Oh, can you take care of her? Oh, maybe you can spare her several moments of your consideration.
Welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, and we got cut off at the end of last segment because we were playing a little trivia game with Rick from Milwaukee on his gun law knowledge. So the last question was, I think we got cut off, is that can minors carry loaded rifles in public in Wisconsin?
Another Dan Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, that was what he got off on, is the fact that as a minor, you can carry a loaded rifle in Wisconsin. And the gun that he had brought and used to kill two people qualified as a rifle. And so that charge, that the one charge that I think the prosecution really thought that they could charge him on, was null and void. But yes, so now there's
the length of the barrel, correct?
Yes, exactly, the length of the barrel. And so I know there's been some talk of potentially, I think there was a proposal in the legislature to say you have to be, if you're a minor carrying a loaded rifle, you have to be in motion, we'll say, to go hunting, because that's what that law is about, as far as, because minors can be with their parents and hunt with a loaded rifle. But not shockingly, that never got out of committee. So, all right, as we've talked about red flag laws being a major part of the new gun, bipartisan gun legislation that's coming in out of Congress, does Wisconsin have a red flag law?
No.
Correct. Yeah, so we currently do not. And part of the new law is less about mandating red flag laws, but giving money to states if they do have red flag laws. And considering that Wisconsin turned down $1 billion to not expand Badger Care, I have a feeling that we will not accept money to create a red flag program. What do you think, Rick?
What was the question?
I said, considering that we didn't take government money to expand Badger Care, I doubt we're going to take government federal money to create red flag laws in the state. What do you think?
Well, we will not be creating red flag laws in the state of Wisconsin anytime soon.
Yeah. All right. Final question. This is a multiple choice question. How many concealed carry permits currently, as of May, are in Wisconsin? Is it 0 to 250,000? Is it 350,000 to 500,000? Or is it over 500,000 concealed carry permits held by Wisconsin residents?
What's the current resident total of Wisconsin?
It's 5.8 million.
I'm going to go with 10% at least then, and we're going to go C, above 500,000.
Close, but it's actually just under 500,000. With 400, as of May, it was 460,000 concealed carry permits in Wisconsin. That's just still a lot.
But By the end of the year, that'll be over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have a prize for you.
America.
I don't have a prize for you, but thank you for calling in. And we're going to do more games. So be quick with your phone finger to call in. And
my
and
prize was just getting a chance to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, call in next time. I'm going to be here again
Congrats
tomorrow.
On the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. Yeah, but we got 7 minutes left. So I'm thank you so much for calling in and call in tomorrow because we're going to have Joe Zepecki on as my co-host for the day, who's a Democratic comms strategist. And we're going to go through the news and maybe have even another game that you could call in for.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah. So that's, I mean, as we round out the show for today, can kind of tee up what we're going to have for the rest of the week and kind of how I want the show to be. So my goal with this show is to have it be funny, have it be, take a different ironic angle sometimes to the news of the day, but largely have it be a show where we talk about the news of Wisconsin in a different way than I think some of the more traditional outlets do. And so always the first hour, we're going to start with five things you need to know. So we're going to take five headlines, and me and a guest co-host, I'm going to have a rotating cast of characters who are going to come in and probably we'll agree on some things. Sometimes we won't. I want more conservative and center right people to also come in and be co-hosts so we can really clash and get to the try to make the other person see our point of view. Maybe not change their mind because it is hard to change people's minds, but at least have a dynamic discussion about some of these headlines. And so the first hour will always be five things to know today. And so we'll take the headlines that are important to Wisconsin and try to both explain them in a coherent, uncomplicated way that makes them less boring than sometimes these topics can be, but get the co-host take, get my take, move on to the next topic. And then the second hour, I think it will always be a little bit more fun. We'll have interviews. Like I said, I would love to get all the different candidates who are running for election this year, and not just the top of the ticket candidates like for governor or for U.S. Senate, but down ballot candidates from either some of the congressional races. We also have people running for lieutenant governor on both sides, having more state legislate. Like there's not many, but there's some competitive assembly and state senate races. So getting some of these people on to talk about why they're running and what they'll do if elected, but also talk to different journalists about the stories that they're investigating and to break those down, but also play some games. You know, I think this trivia game was a little bit of the tip of the iceberg, but having time to, you know, break things down and ask some trivia questions and get your engagement and involvement. But yeah, so I think the show, it will be dynamic. The show will be creative, ideally. And ideally, it will also run with you guys calling in, with you guys shooting us text messages, with you guys giving us ideas for people to interview, topics to cover, things that we might have missed. Because I often think we get so wrapped up in national headlines that it's easy to forget all the important things that are happening right in our state. When I first moved back to Wisconsin in early 2020, I, at that point, had been living in a combination of California and New York, and was considering myself a pretty heavy news consumer, but the way I consume news was on social media. And I feel like so many of the national outlets found really creative ways through social media and digital to reach people. And for people who are younger, you know, millennials, Gen Z, that's kind of how we get our news now. And so that's going to be a huge part of at least this show, is taking what we do live on the air and chopping it up and putting it into reels and TikToks and segments that you can just go watch the 10-minute little game that we played and share that with your friends if you don't have time to listen to the entire podcast. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. This is going to be a creative labor of love, and I can't wait to go on this journey with you. So come back tomorrow, 12 p.m., 12 to 2, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. And with that, we're out on our first show.
Woo! Somewhere.